All right, good evening. We're going to go ahead and begin our evening service here at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. So good to have you here. Good to see folks fellowshipping. Great to see the Gittins out here tonight with us. Glad to see boys and girls, all different ages in here tonight. Thank you for being here as part of our church service. Good to have one of the birthday folks here today, birthday boy Arnie Bresser, I think, the big 8-0. All right, and awesome. That's great. That's a Bible says that's a mark of maturity. God's blessed him. Good to see Arnie here today. Many of you pray for him and encourage him in the Lord. Glad to have all of you here. I know there's some folks. I got a phone call at 5:55. I was not going to answer it, but it looked like it was local. And they said, hey, are you having service tonight? I said, yes. What time? I said, 5 minutes. And they said, oh, well, can we walk in late? I said, sure. All right. So there may be two or three people come in late right here in the area they said they were. And so walk in late, no problem. But we're glad to have you here tonight on this Sunday night.
You're going to stand with me as we sing. Oh, who won? Nobody's watching? Okay, I didn't watch. 483, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. 483. Sing that last verse a cappella.
Every joy or trial falleth from above, trace upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him for. Stayed upon Jehovah.
489, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. My grandmother this morning quoted that to me on the way here, and it was a great blessing to me. I had told her, I have a lot of things on my mind, and she said, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And it's like, you need to be reminded of that sometimes, because a lot of times cares, things about this life, you get entangled by it, you get hamstrung by it, you get joint locked by it, but have to remember the Lord, focus on the Lord. 489, okay, all your anxiety, 489. Why don't you stand with me as we sing this? 489.
Is there a height or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety leave it there. All your anxiety,
those words are. I trust that if you come tonight bogged down with cares and worries and frets and things that are causing you anxiety, I hope you gave it to the Lord during that hymn right there. Roll it to him. Let him handle it, and he'll take care of that as he sees fit. Well, no special music tonight, and so just before we dismiss the young ones, I've asked Pastor Cremard to come. It's great to have them here. They're often on the road traveling, preaching, and so as you know, he has taught the adult a class at Bible school for many, many years. Going to do it again this year. Always a blessing. Some of you not ever able to be in that because you're working, but some of you have been in it in the past. I hope you're working on trying to get some neighbors and friends, some other adults to come. And so I've asked him just to come up and sort of share a little tidbit on what he's going to be teaching on and sort of whet your appetite in 2 weeks.
Well, I hope that you are alert. How many of you in this room are alert? Shall I ask that question one more time? Are you alert? I just sent shockwaves through Zoom, whatever. All right. Have you noticed that that there are some things going on in American society that just don't seem to be right. There's a verse in the scripture. It's found in Psalm chapter 11 and verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's going to be the theme of our lesson. I can go back a little ways. Arnie can go back further. It's about 8 years he has on me. But let me see, like Carol. We were in Penn State together. That doesn't mean a thing. Our credits don't amount to anything anyplace. Yeah. But there was some upheaval when we were in college in 1969. 68, 69, 70, so on and so forth. There were some things that were going on that you older people just didn't understand. You know, things like Black Panthers. Remember them? Okay. Rolling Stones. I don't mean you're not playing Bochy out in the yard. A rock group, Rolling Stones. There was this guy called, back in the 50s, there was this guy on a program by the name of the Ed Sullivan Show. You don't remember him. Don't be shaking your head. You do? Do you watch him on YouTube? Anyway. He introduced this group called the Beatles. He introduced this group, or this guy called Elvis. And they wouldn't show him from his waist down on public television. There were only three stations back then. You remember? They wouldn't show him. There was this upheaval. I'm looking at Norm. Norm's not the upheaval. There was this thing called the Civil Rights Movement that went on. Now, you know well about that. Meet the man who lost some of his soul marching with those people for their protection. Have you discovered that some of the, those of you who remember, that some of the Elvis songs seem very tame compared to what's going on today? And yet it was the beginning of something. The foundations were being eroded. It actually goes back a little further than that. Just last week, and maybe 2 weeks ago, Utah passed a law that said, in a particular district, that the Bible is to be banned from school because it's too graphic, sexually too graphic. So it's banned. Last week, a California legislator introduced legislation that said, if parents oppose their child's desire to identify as whatever, it could amount to child abuse, and therefore action being taken against the parents. So how did we get from not showing a guy from his waist down on television because that was immoral to this? How did we get there? The foundations were destroyed. And they're being destroyed every moment of every day. You young people, some of the things I just said, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And one of your problems is that you will gauge everything from your historical viewpoint of the time that you lived in until now. If I said 78 record, you know what I'm talking about? Laughing, Dad's laughing. You know what I'm talking about? You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? 45. Not this. Okay, 45. Right? Yeah. So I'm just trying to make a point. Historical perspective. So we're going to take a look at if the foundations be destroyed. And we're going to take a look at morality. And we're going to take a look at some things that I have preached before, modified a little bit. Morality, who says so? Morality, the fiery law. Morality, the moral code as a tutor. Morality, how to keep the commandments. immorality. Who says so? Believers can change. Those are our five nights. Who will it benefit? New believers, mature believers, singles, married, single parents, parents, grandparents, the person who is trying to figure out what they need to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, the seeker. The class is for everyone, in other words. So no matter where you are on the spectrum, what we have lost in America is recent. But it's devastating that we lost it. The consequences are grave. They're going to get worse. What shall we do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's your teaser.
Very good, very good. I'm going to invite you to turn in the New Testament to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians there. That's one of those books that are five books that start with the letter T in a row. So you want to be toward the back if you're not sure of your books of the Bible. 2 Thessalonians, if you're using a pew Bible, we have those for you. Just look for that dark navy Bible. Should be within a hand's breadth of where you're at there. And you can turn in that Bible to page 1667 if you're using a pew Bible. 1667, 2 Thessalonians tonight. Just one main verse, not even a verse maybe, just one phrase that the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. 2 Thessalonians. Let's just real quick, it's a short book. It's probably on, if you have a regular sized Bible, it may just be on the two pages that are looking at you. All right? They may have all three little chapters right there. Don't even have to turn a page. Maybe you have to turn one page. It's a very short little book, three chapters, less than 50 verses there, and easy to simple to read, but sometimes you can read it fast and not really grasp anything. Our intention tonight is not going to cover the book. I want to just look at one phrase, but before we get to that phrase, let's just look at how the book opens. This is a letter, an epistle from the Apostle Paul to a group of believers, the church, local assembly that was meeting in the town of Thessalonica. And therefore, they're called the Thessalonians. And this is his second letter or epistle. There's a first one that's a little longer. Notice the opening verse, 1:1. So this is going to be who is writing it or who's with him. Paul and Silvanus, otherwise known as Silas, and Timotheus, better known as Timothy. So Paul and Silas, usually the only time we think of Silas is, right, Paul and Silas in jail. Acts 16, right? The Philippian jailer. So this is Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Who are they writing to, or who's Paul writing to? Unto the church, local assembly of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's pretty simple. It's the Apostle Paul, along with some friends and co-laborers and helpers. They're with him. He's writing his second letter or epistle to a dear group of believers that are part of a local church assembly in the city of Thessalonica. You may remember from your reading of Acts that he got run out of that town, all right? Had to get out at night, all right? They were out for him. And so he wasn't there very long, but there was a group of believers. We have no idea how big the size was. He continues his letter, verse 2, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to notice two things. We're going to look at just verse 3, verse 11, then we're going to get to the verse I want to get to. Notice two things that Paul says he does always. Now, that doesn't mean 24-7, every waking moment of every breath, but it's a continual pattern. Notice the two things he says, verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you." So let me ask you, church member, church attendee, church visitor, how often do you thank God for your church, church family, church individuals, maybe by name or by group? Does that cross your mind ever? Number one, that's where you always have to start. Do you even think of doing that? And then secondly, do you even do it? Paul said, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren." Paul loves that word, brethren. Brothers, sisters, bond in Jesus Christ. You are brethren. We thank God. And I don't think it was just I'm so thankful for the Thessalonians. All right? That may have been that on occasion. But I think that it was thankful. I think they were picturing believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, younger children, maybe by name, and that they thanked God for that group of believers on a regular basis. Here he says, always, on a regular basis, a pattern. And then drop down to verse 11. Notice the second almost identical wording. Wherefore also we pray always for you. Church member, church attendee, church visitor, church watcher perhaps. How often can you say that you pray for this church and not just the church, be with IBC? How's that even? That's not even a prayer. God be with IBC. All right. Church families by name. If I said, look around now, the other day we had an unusual thing that you don't see often. In fact, I think it's been 2, 3, 4 decades since I have seen an owl, especially in the wild, especially in the day. I'm not talking about going to the zoo or something like that, and others of you may see them on a regular basis, but it's been a long time. My aunt had a lot of owls in her abandoned silo, my aunt and uncle in their farm, but barn owls, we used to see them all the time, we'd go over there, but it's been a long time since I've seen an owl in any way. And we were out, it was not even dusk, and the dog is barking, and we're not paying attention, the dog always barks, right? Squirrels, cats, but I was like, oh, what's he doing over there? And so we go over, and there's probably a name for it, an owlet, all right? There under the tree, beautiful little owl, and it's a little bit scared, and we're like, whoa, what is the owl doing out here? All right, and it got the dog back, and of course what do? You take out your camera, you're taking pictures, all right, and things like that, and of course you're moving around, and the owl with that 360 is just, isn't that awesome? Their head is just moving the whole way with you, and then we're there looking, all of a sudden my wife goes, I think there's another one up in the tree, and we look up, and there's Mama looking at us. We're like, whoa, back off, we didn't know that one was up there. Maybe there's more, all right, and all of those kind of things, and you're looking, and boy, it's something you don't often see, all right, something you don't often think about. Something like that. I have no idea where I was even going with that now that I'm saying that. I got so into my owl story and owlet. It was an owlet, all right, that I don't remember where I was at with that. It'll come to me, all right. But now aren't you glad you came to church tonight to learn that we saw an owl, all right? Let me get back to my point here, verse 11. The Holy Spirit will remind me. We pray always for you, all right? Talking about thinking about that. I have no idea. You're going to be laughing at that the whole rest of the night. Not sure why that popped in my mind, but it may come back to me. But regardless, the point being here is, Paul says two statements, and he's not lying or bragging. We thank you, the Lord, always for you, church, and we pray always for you, whoa, by name. Now, a lot of times, that's where it was, or it came back, all right? I was going to say, where you're sitting right there, like an owl, turn your head and gaze at this whole room, and ask yourself, how many people, honestly, that you see in here, how many people do you honestly know their name? And secondly, how often do you lift up their name specifically in prayer? That was my point there. Took me a while to get to it, all right? As you just look around the room. Okay, you say, I'm not sure if I know exactly that person's name, or I've seen that lady back there, or that lady back there. I've seen them. I think I might get the teens right. Okay, well, it's going to be hard to pray for people if you don't know their name. Well, I pray for that kid with the red shirt, Lord. The Lord knows and hears that, sure. Do you thank the Lord for your church family? Do you thank the Lord by name? Do you pray for them? That was obviously something that was done on a regular basis there. I want to challenge you. But the verse that the Lord laid on my heart, the phrase, is chapter 3, verse 1. I'd like us just to look at that just for a few moments. In chapter 1, Paul says, we thank the Lord always for you. He says, we pray always for you. But now Paul asks for a personal request. He says, verse 1 of chapter 3, finally, it means he's finishing up his letter, finally, brethren, pray for us. Let's look at that little phrase right there. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. How vital is prayer in your life? And I know there's a lot of people who would be considered religious that say, I pray every day. I'm not sure all what that means. Is that a memorized prayer, a rote prayer? Are they talking about praying for meals? Is that just pretty much a form prayer? I'm praying to God generically. Okay, you may pray every day. Do you pray for others every day? Well, maybe your own immediate family, your spouse, children. Do you pray for people outside of that circle? Do you pray for lost by name? Do you pray for missionaries by name, by need? Here, Paul, who doesn't always ask for prayer requests, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, he does give specifics here, but I don't really want to focus on that. But let's just see what he says specifically. Pray for us. He really has two requests. Number one, that the word of the Lord, the scriptures, the Bible, may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. His second request, verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. If you've done any reading at all in the book of Acts, Paul's journeys, you'll know that was a constant occurring battle trial. Be it the Jews, often it was the Jews, the unbelieving Jews. Sometimes it was the others, but all, just constantly. Oh, that we would be delivered, if it be God's will, from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. If you were to tie in chapter 1, verse 11, and chapter 3, verse 1, both times Paul talks about prayer, when he says, I pray always for you, and I'm asking that you pray for me, Paul had in mind the same goal. Chapter 1, verse 11, actually verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Chapter 3, verse 1, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Did you notice the purpose of his prayer? It wasn't just, hey, pray for me that I'll be delivered from this sickness. Not wrong to pray that way. Pray that this trial will be removed. Pray that the God will provide the finances so we don't have that, you know, whatever it may be. That's how often we will often look at it. We'll say, here's the prayer request, and I hope that it gets done. Thank you. But notice the purpose of the praying going on here. Paul is saying, this is how I pray, this is how we pray for you, and I'm asking that you pray for us in the same form, that no matter what happens, that the name of Jesus Christ or the Word of God would be glorified. No matter what else happens, that through the trial, that through the situation, that through the affliction, that Jesus Christ's name or the Word of God, one and the same, would be glorified, which means uplifted, magnified, exalted, so that all may see and know who our God is, who the Lord is. That was really at the very foundation of his prayer. Not so much pray that we don't ever have to, whatever happened in Philippi happens again. I mean, just think about it today, I guess. That'd be interesting, you know, if we modernize what Paul's prayer letter would look like when he sent it to us. Hey, we got a prayer letter from one of our missionaries over in Asia Minor. Paul, the Apostle Paul. Let's see what's going on. All right. We got a lot of prayer requests here. I mean, I was just stoned to death almost the other day. Just pray that these guys stop doing that. Pray the Lord sends us to some good cities. We just run out of at night, and we had to go from this one, and then I was arrested, and that wasn't really his prayer request. I mean, we got falsely accused in Philippi, unjustly beaten, put in the inner stocks. That was completely unfair. You know, we're contacting the CLA to see what we can do. Yet it says Paul and Silas, while they were in prison, what'd they do? Sang and prayed. What were they praying for? Lord, get us out of here. Lord, I don't know, probably, Lord, use this situation. You, how else would anybody get the gospel in the inner prison than this way? Huh? Think about that. God is so intentional about the gospel going around the entire world, prisons and jails are not exempt. Well, we're going to get one of ours in the inner prison. In the inner prison, and they're in there, and they're singing and praying, and in that the gospel is given, and we know what happened. Whoa! Paul's saying, but I'm praying that the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be glorified. That it would be Him that's magnified, not us. It would be Him that's exalted. It's that Him would be high and lifted up, and that all would see. Wow! But I want to just look at that phrase there, and then we're going to put this into practice, all right? Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. prayer should be the lifeline of the church, right? Praying church is a powerful church in the things of God. No prayer, no power really in the church. We could have fellowship every week. Fellowship is good. There was part of the church. We see that in the book of Acts. Fellowship is needed. It's necessary, but that's not the power of the church in fellowships. Now, we can have our picnics, and those are great, and we intend to. And we can have after-church socials and get together and greet. And we need that. We do need that. And that can be a great moment, but that's not the power of the church in fellowships and get-togethers. All right? The power of the church is great. We love music, and that's great, too, and it has its place. And preaching, obviously, God says lots about that and the manifestation of truth. But prayer is one of the keys in a church. We can meet together all the time, 52 weeks. We can fellowship a lot. We can sing great music. But if it's not a praying church, it's not really much there at all. Brethren, pray for us. I have to imagine that Paul didn't just say that expecting that no one was going to pray for him. Brethren, you're dear to us. We pray for you. We thank you. We're asking you to pray for us. Please pray for us. Pray that God's word would be glorified. Pray that if it be the will of God, that perhaps he would deliver us from this. All men, and notice what he said in verse 3, no matter what happens, it's almost like he says, doesn't matter if we're not delivered, the Lord is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. Brethren, pray for us. We could look at Acts, but I'm not going to do that tonight. We could see that there was prayer before the church began in Acts 2. There was prayer after the church began in Acts 2. There was prayer during affliction and persecution in the book of Acts. There was prayer after the church began. Prayer was the one key thing that united, if you could put it, the church. So I'm going to ask you a question. Would you be part of that church in Acts? Would you be at the prayer meetings? Would you be when they got together? Would you be there in Acts 12 when the church met, looks like, all night, two nights, praying for Peter, one of their own? What if we got word that one of our missionaries was, falsely persecuted and arrested in a country that maybe it was illegal to do these things, and that they were going to try him for, and they're going to put him to death, perhaps, in some of these countries, or never see him again. And they said, please, urgent prayer request. Pray, and maybe it's somebody that's been here, and somebody said, oh, that's a dear brother or sister in Christ. And we said, here's what we're going to do. Church is going to be open. We'll be open for 24 hours, 48 hours. We're going to pray. You can pray at home. You can pray anywhere. We understand that. But we're going to come together as a church body and pray. And I understand you have family and you work in the school, but try to get here and pray. Let me ask you, would you be part of that group at all? Do you assemble with this church when it meets for prayer? Now, we have what's called a Wednesday night midweek service, prayer meeting. Call it what you want. Different church called different things there. We meet. Now, we don't have that service this week because we have a Thursday service with a music team. And so we're going to do it tonight. All right, we're going to have our prayer meeting tonight. We're going to break up in just a little bit. We're going to pray. Now, I realize that sometimes folks get nervous and a little bit nervous and scared when it comes to praying and say, I don't like to do that. I don't do that kind of stuff. All right? But, it's biblical, isn't it? It's biblical. The church needs to be praying together. And it's not, and the church shouldn't, you shouldn't just be praying with the same people every time. All right? And it shouldn't always just be you by yourself, I don't think, or just alone. I think there are certainly times for that. But I think if you study the scriptures, you will see that the churches, what was vital was prayer. Praying together, corporate prayer, meaning it wasn't just find your own prayer corner. All right? And I realize that doesn't mean everybody here may be a believer. That doesn't mean everybody here, you might say, I've never prayed out loud with anybody. I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do it. Well, let me ask you, are you willing to learn? Are you willing to say, hey, it's important, I think, to the Lord. I may have never done that before. I may be a visitor. I may not even really know. I just don't do that. I can't do it. I don't know what to say. I don't pray like other people. But I think it's important. I believe it is important to God. I believe it's important for the church. I believe it's important for a church to pray together. And so we don't have our normal midweek prayer meeting service. But there's no rule that says you have to do it on Wednesday night, is there? All right? We pray every single night of the week if we want to. So we're going to pray here in just a second, break up into some groups. And here's what I'm asking. I am asking this. Obviously, no, we're not going. I can't enforce it. But as your pastor, your shepherd, I'm asking that if at all possible, here's how we do this. I know it's human nature to just do the same thing you're used to doing and the same people in the same group because you're comfortable with that. I understand that, and that has its time and its place, and I'm grateful for that. But I like tonight for us to break up into some small groups, and we're going to pray through till 7:05. And then around 7:05, I'm going to ask Debbie, as our pianist tonight, to just slip up and play a little bit of music. When you hear the music playing around 7:05, then you and whatever group you're in can wrap up your prayer time. And then I'm going to have Charlie come up here, and I gave him a heads up. He's going to come up here and going to have you stand, and we're just going to finish with a chorus. Just a simple little chorus from the hymn book. And when the chorus is over, we'll be dismissed tonight. And I look forward to seeing you again on Thursday night, or some of you perhaps at the funeral tomorrow. So here's what I would like to do, if at all possible. I'm taking some different scriptures here. I would love to be able to see if some older mothers, mothers that maybe don't have children in the home, could pray with some younger mothers. All right? Now, whether that's one-on-one or a group of two or three, you know, the Bible says that there's different groups here that we ought to be impacting that younger generation. You could even find out as you say, hey, before we jump into prayer, anything I can pray? Now, we don't have a prayer bulletin. We're not going to worry about the prayer bulletin. You may have one in your Bible. That's fine. I'd like, before you jump into prayer tonight, to maybe introduce yourself if you don't know each other. That'd be good. Test yourself there. Oh, I don't know that person. All right. And pray together. Share some personal prayer requests. And I would encourage each person to write those two or three personal prayer requests down. And that you would say, okay, I'm going to write these down, and I'm going to pray for these this week, all this week. And Lord willing, I'll see you next Sunday. And why don't we meet, we'll talk after Sunday school. And let's check on it. I'm going to ask you about those prayer requests. You can ask about mine. And let's see if those have been answered. Or let's see what God has done and do it. And I'm going to be praying for you this week. Now, I know, like, no one's going to enforce that between you and the Lord. You could write it down and forget. Those things happen. But I want us to take our prayers more than just, okay, let's pray here real quick. All right, we just prayed for 5 minutes. It's 6:55. We're done. So let's talk about the week and summer and school. That's not praying. I realize everybody's at different levels. And that's why it would be better if there were an older believer, older one with a younger one, and that's where they can learn and help, all right? And I know it's sometimes scary. I'm not mashing to do something I've never done. And I remember being like that when our pastor would do that, and I did not want to do that. And I wanted to go with my buddies, or I wanted to go with someone in my family. But I can remember older men that would come up and say, it's time to pray with me. And I didn't have to pray for 15 minutes. It was helpful. It was good for me, all right? It was good. It taught me a lot of things. And so the Bible makes it clear that aged men or women, those that are, whether by age or by spirituality, you've been saved longer than many, it's good to match up with a younger believer, a newer believer, a younger person, an older dad with a younger dad, and say, how things going there? And hopefully you're honest. Well, we're just struggling home. It's not easy. Maybe they can give you some wisdom. So here's something that really helped me from the Bible. Let me encourage you. And you pray together. Well, I tell you, that creates a bond. That'll create a bond deeper than any church picnic, fellowship, ice cream social will ever do. All right? And get together all you want, going out to eat after church. Those are all nice. But you pray with someone and you share personal prayer requests, and you pray sitting beside them or on your knees together, and you maybe even shed a tear together, and you pray specifically, and you mean it with all your heart, and you write those things down, you'll remember that all week as you pray for them. You may even text them, call them, you'll see them, you'll notice that they're here or not, and you'll have a brother or sister for life, perhaps, if you keep it up. All right? Or we can do what's safe and cautious and say, well, again, no one's going to force you. It's between you and the Lord. All right, some of you have maybe a child here, and your younger children say, well, great. Then dad and child, mom and child, pray with another mom and dad or something like that. Get together, whatever you can. That'd be great. So the goal is not to pray with anybody within a 10-year age span, all right, so that Juliana, who's not a teen, prays with, over here, a teen, but they're pretty much in the same group there, all right? Doesn't mean they can't do that other times, but tonight, let's try our best to be in groups of 2 to 4 at the most. At the most, 4, 2 to 3 would be ideal, all right? If you just choose to pray by yourself, we're not going to come up and tap you and say, you need to leave, all right? But I would encourage you to do that, all right? And again, I know sometimes hearts are beating, you're looking around, who's safe, who do you know? I'll go to that person, I pray with them many, many times. I'm not expecting the teens to seek you out. I'm expecting some older folks to come over here and say, boom, Lord, I'd like to pray with you tonight, all right? How about we do it, or something like that, and go with that. So it's 6:51, we're going to spend about 14 minutes in prayer, and so let's go ahead and divide up, find spots. Let's spend some time together, share some prayer requests, pray together, and then when you hear the music, you'll end up your prayer. We'll finish in a chorus. Brethren, pray for us. Let's put that into practice. Brethren.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me.